Heroes Not Included is a serialized story podcast featuring actual play using the Dungeons & Dragons role-playing game from Wizards of the Coast. Wizards of the Coast own their respective copyrights, trademarks, and related material. A special thanks to all the great people at Wizards of the Coast for their hard work creating such wonderful games for us to play. Previously on Heroes Not Included.
And so convinced all of the cultists to strip and leave, and they left all of their stuff.
Everything.
Including the bag. So then Eobard was like, sweet, let's loot all this stuff before Zephyros comes down here and asks us what happened. And he opened the bag of holding, and Invisible Stalker came out. The Invisible Stalker was dead and we weren't. The silver dragon and some spectral dwarves showed up, and they like zoomed into the tower, and they zoomed up to the second floor, and they basically like house arrested Zephyros for some.
That was so sad.
It was so silly. They were from the Lord's Alliance, and they wouldn't listen to me when I told them that we're also from the Lord's Alliance, and you guys should just be nice to our friend. And they didn't care. And they put a tire lock on the tower right outside of Mirabar. And then it dropped us off. And that was that.
Heroes Not Included.
So, you're outside of Mirabar. What do you want to do? You know that there is a road that you could follow called the Long Road, but it leads south and away from Silvery Moon. The most direct path to Silvery Moon from Mirabar is over the hills and through the woods.
There's no trail?
There's no road.
No. Oh, cool. You have to stample through people's farms and stuff. That'd be awesome.
Do we need to resupply at all?
Oh, do you have cash to resupply?
I have no idea if I have money. I don't care, though. I'm just going to tell people to give me shit. I'm going to do that until it causes trouble.
At this point, it would either be provisions or anything to make our trip easier.
Callum, do we have food? Is that tall guy with us still? He hunts. I assume everything's great.
How are you going to determine the direction of Silvery Moon from where you are? Just test the wind?
We have a tracker with us, don't we? I guess he doesn't know where, though.
Yeah, I don't think Jodor's ever been to Silvery Moon.
What do we know about Silvery Moon?
We know it's past Mirabar and to the east.
You can certainly make a history roll if you want.
We could go hire a guide.
Nope, that's a nat one.
A lot of that, all that low altitude air, or high altitude air.
I have zero in history, so I'm not even going to do it.
We can go hire I'm proficient.
20, nat 20.
Wow, shit.
Good thing I well, begrudgingly roll that.
Never the hell mind, then.
Wow, well, bravo you.
Apparently I've heard stories on the ships.
Apparently you've heard stories of Silvery Moon,
which...
Well, it
is supposed to be very pretty.
You know that it's referred to as the Gem of the North, that it is a beautiful, tranquil city where trees and gardens live in harmony with buildings, bridges, and sculptures.
Ooh, I like this place already.
It is considered to have the greatest libraries along the Sword Coast and possibly within all of Faerun. It is known for its various schools. It has several schools and colleges of music and art. And magic.
So fancy.
Even elves believe that it, in some way, is reminiscent of the ancient elven empires and hints to the elven kingdoms on Earth. You know that the current High Marshal is Mithramar Erasume, and you also know that the city is magically defended in some way. But that it's generally considered to be a center of enlightenment and learning.
And do I know where it is?
You know that it is in the Nether Mountains.
We could go hire a guide.
Perhaps we shall. Buy a map. Buy a map or ask someone.
Let's do it. This is where we provision before heading to the spine.
Right.
It's true.
Okay.
All right. It's about a couple hours walk to the gates of Mirabar. And it is in a very impressive display because the walls are made of a mixture of stone and metal, and all of the metal seems to be in good order, thus giving it a very shimmery glow. The gates themselves have a variety of jewels and semi-precious stones embedded in them. You make your way in past the city guards, in through the gates, and you find yourself on the high street, the main street. There is all manner of shops. You see the general store that you had purchased your furs from. You see a variety of food shops. You see a variety of magical shops and musical shops and art dealers. And it does take some doing, but you do eventually find a shop that looks like it might have a map of the Savage Frontier. It is called Marpin's Adventurorium.
Why didn't we stop in here the first time we came through?
Yeah, okay, I'll walk in. Marvin's Adventurorium?
Marpin's Adventurorium.
Marpin's Adventurorium. Well, this seems like the place. Yeah. I might walk in.
You walk in and you see all manner of gear and swords and armor and potions behind the counter and scrolls and all manner of stuff. And you see this dwarf with multiple braids in his beard, and inlaid into each braid is a different precious gem.
Oof.
Multiple precious gems.
Fancy.
All the way through the braids.
Hashtag beard goals.
Right, exactly. And he is sitting behind the counter, and he seems to be perusing a book.
Me? I walk up and
I
knock on the counter.
Okay. And he kind of looks up from his book and he says, "Ah, yes. Are you going on an adventure?"
"I suppose. We're going on a place that has no appropriate road and is not going to let me buy a carriage. So I need a map."
88 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
"Where you're going, you don't need
a road."
"A map. Ah, all right. Well, where is it you're headed exactly?"
"We're headed to Silvery Moon."
"Oh, Silvery Moon.
Which
well,
I think is that way."
"Yes, it's well, it's it's south and east of here."
"Oh, okay."
"And so you'll be looking for a map of the frontier."
"Yeah, we're going through a place that had a horrible name, Savage Forest."
"Well, let's see." And he kind of ruffles through a whole bunch of rolled up parchments and papers.
"In my mind,
this is not it. And this is not it."
I say, "Malphus, is there anything here worth my time?" "Go look around."
"I'm looking."
This looks like a flea market, but you never know.
You feel a weight lift from your shoulder. After a little bit of fumbling around, he finds this roll of parchment, and he unrolls it in front of you. And it is a map of the north.
Yes.
And on it, you can see clearly marked all sorts of places. He says, it doesn't have everywhere. And it's a bit dated, but it should at least give you a sense of where you're going. That would be one silver piece."
Look around.
Valum steps forward. And he opens up a little bag and he pulls out a silver piece and he hands it to the guy.
"We can look at this map."
And you hear in your head, "That's where it went."
"What? What, what?
What, what? Who, who?" "He would like his finger back."
"Finger back." I'm listening to him, but I'm also saying, okay, there's Mirabar, there's Silvery Moon. Dun-da-dun-da. Dun-da-dun.
And we're there!
Yay.
That's how it works, right?
Yeah. Just drive a little thing on the
back. That's what Indiana Jones action there, huh?
I say this, I guess, is good, and I roll it up and offer it to either of these two.
I'll take it.
I give Aspen the map.
Oh, so we gotta go through the Lurkwood.
Is that bad?
We could always go south and skirt the Lurkwood.
I'll ask him. I'm staying here. I'm looking at the map. Yeah. I'm looking at the map. I'm like, this is very nice. Tell me about the Lurkwood.
Lurkwood? Oh, well.
It's not a pleasant name, is it?
Oh, well, you know how things go around here. Names can be deceiving.
I never think of anything good comes from lurking. Speaking of which, Malthus, what do you mean, this finger?
Well, it's mostly filled with barbarian tribes. But if you get deep enough into it, you might find goblinoids and wolves and direwolves as well. But along the perimeters, I know that there are hunters even here in Mirabar who oftentimes go hunting in there. But you don't want to go too deep. Eventually, you want to follow along the Rauven River, but I'll take you right into Silvery Moon. And he kind of looks at the rest of you and he goes, especially with that one in your party, I doubt you run into much trouble.
Oh gosh! I forgot he was in here. He's like a cat. We call him Jador the Cat.
He's a very large cat you have. And you hear Amavius go,
he would probably reward us for returning his finger.
I say, feel free to look around the store, and then I go browse the goods.
Okay.
And then I go whisper into a corner, and I'm like, I pick up something, and I'm looking it over. And I say, what finger?
He says, here.
I'm about to give you the finger.
He says, here, up here.
I'm looking.
And you look up, and sure enough, over in a corner, in a glass case, you see this large, red, kind of scaly finger with a massive claw on it.
Is it somewhere I can retrieve it?
No, it's beyond your reach.
Okay. How much does it weigh? But it's locked away.
Yeah, it's in a locked case. So okay. It and the case total, maybe 5 pounds, 6 pounds.
Okay. I tell Malthus to remain invisible, but I gesture toward it and tell him to bring it down to the counter. It starts to move. I say, oh, Sir Dwarf, tell me, what is this?
And he kind of looks and he says, oh, I totally forgot about that thing up there.
Wow. Now I really wish I had just taken it.
I bought it off of a fella who called it the Finger of Fate. It's rumored not to have come from a lizard, but from a devil. And not just any devil, but a great devil.
Oh, well, that gets my attention. How much did you pay for it?
Let's see here. He kind of strokes his beard and fondles a few of the gems that are in it. I believe 5,000 gold.
I say, very well. I tell Malthus to go put it back.
Okay.
Because I don't think we have... I think, Valen, we have 5,000 gold.
Valen comes forward and says, well, not really. No. And you hear a sigh from Malthus.
I say, don't worry, little pet.
Abarax would want his finger.
Yes, I feel this is very important. So let us go have lunch.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys exit, and you find that Kallik is sitting outside on a bench. Mm-hmm. Next to the road is ornately decorated.
My head is hanging.
Aww. And hair of the dog, friend.
Are you done wasting my time?
Oh my god.
And my hair goes straight up.
Yeah. No, I think we should go eat.
And my hair settles. Fine.
There are a lot of pubs and taverns.
Okay, let's go to the nearest one.
Okay. It's called the Stinky Foot.
Stinky Foot? Sounds great. I'm sure it is.
I'm sure it tastes as well as it sounds.
I'm sure it's fantastic.
Okay.
But I say, Malthus, keep an eye on that toe. Also, go snoop around this dwarf's place a bit. I want to know more about the dwarf. I go into the Stinky Place. I sit down and just happily watch the crowd and have a drink.
Okay. Drinks are served, whatever it is you're drinking. Not nearly as tasty as the food that was served by your cloud giant host, partly because the food that he served was somewhat magically enhanced. But it is satisfying nonetheless because it is lots of carbs and lots and lots and lots of protein.
Sticks to your bones,
it's true. I assume that you're doing this to give Malthus time to kind of search through the place.
Yeah. Just if there's anything worth knowing that would give me an edge in negotiating with this dwarf. Because I find that all of a sudden I want that thing.
And wanting something that I can't have is an unusual feeling to me, and it's only made me kind of want it more.
Well, Malphus does uncover a ledger of sort.
Red numbers. Lots of red numbers.
Do you see a transaction for this Abraxas cloth? Find out if he's on the level with us.
Tough to read, this is. All red numbers. Do they write in red numbers?
I don't know. Perhaps it's blood. Taste it.
There's no peanut.
He's got nothing on this Abraxas thing?
Well, you can ask Malphus about Abraxas. He'll be happy to tell you all about it.
I want to know some... We are going to talk about that.
He doesn't find anything that catches his attention other than this book filled with lots and lots of red numbers. Malphus is, you know, not financially inclined. Not only is it dwarven, but he would probably find that fairly difficult to interpret.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. If that's what we get to work with, we'll work with it. I look around the inn,
mm-hmm.
and I look for someone fairly well-dressed.
There's a lot.
Someone who looks like someone of means, very noble. Perhaps someone I would mark as taken with themselves. Really sticks out.
Well, give me a perception check.
I almost want someone in the sort of, who's flaunting it a bit. You know what I mean?
Someone who is not a mere barian, though.
I want somebody, I mean, I'm assuming a lot of people come through this town.
Yeah.
And I want someone who's there.
It's considered one of the wealthiest.
And and is probably there to buy gems, and is making it rain, and is wanting to show off a bit. Someone who's really tossing that flith around. Oh, that's pretty good. 19 plus 1.
Ah.
20.
All right, 20.
Deconstructed 20.
It takes a little bit of poking around because, like I said, everyone is fairly well-dressed.
Mm-hmm.
And fairly nicely adorned.
Mm-hmm.
But you see a human,
mm-hmm.
finally, in the corner, who seems to be paying for his drinks with gems.
Wow, that's ostentatious. Malthus, come to me.
Coming.
Right.
So you hear a thud. One of the windows kind of busts open.
Mm-hmm.
His mouth is going to fly through the window. He lands on your shoulder.
He says, what? What is it? Did we find the peanut?
So I said, look at this one. Doesn't he look very full of himself, Malthus?
Full indeed.
He's probably not from here. Probably here
too
to
tall.
Trade. Look at all those gems he throws about. And while I sit here talking to him,
mm-hmm.
I slowly take on his identical appearance.
Okay.
Including clothing and everything. Straight up and down.
Straight up and down.
And then say... Let's go, Malphus. I say, gentlemen, and then maybe you guys are freaked out. Like, what?
Yeah, what do you have? What do you guys, you guys are going to respond at all to the fact that, no?
I'll be just...
Aspen's been around the Fae long enough that people just changing appearances is old hat.
I haven't even noticed.
And yeah, he's too intoxicated to care.
He's just doing this.
There we go.
More
wine, please!
I fill his goblet and say,
okay.
So Gollum, stay here, and walk out the door.
Okay, so you're, I guess, headed back up the street.
Yep.
To
and
Mark
I'm now
adventure
very
touring.
Boisterous. I'm greeting everyone. Hello! Hello! Yes. Nothing's too good for me. And I bust through the door and then put my hands on my hips.
All right.
Take a moment to let the dwarf soak it in.
Okay. Yeah, he definitely is giving you a once-over.
And I'd say, look at your fine store.
Yes, it is a fine store.
Oh, so much finery. I've heard rumor just recently... that you might have a strange lizard fingernail.
A lizard fingernail?
Yes.
I don't have any lizard fingernail.
I point up and go, oh, look, there it is. It's that fingernail on the end of that fleshy stump.
And he looks up there and he goes, the finger of fate?
Is that what it's called?
Well, that's what that is, yeah.
Oh, and that's even more exciting. I didn't know it had such a fantastic name.
Well,
this is so perfect for me. Look at me. I obviously am some sort of douchebag that would demand to own something just because it was called that, because it only adds to my self-worth.
Okay.
And then I say, we're all friends here. And upon saying we're all friends here, I cast Friends. Wait,
friends.
Not Friends, it's...
I cast Friends!
Yeah.
Plus
Charm
one.
Person.
Season
Charm
one.
Person.
Season one when they all like
yeah.
each other.
Charm Person, not Friends. Friends is way too weak.
Okay, Charm Person.
Yep. Duration, 1 hour. Casting time, one action. He gets a save on wisdom. Oh, wait. No. I really want this to work. I sit and talk to him a while.
Okay.
Butter him up. Yeah. And I say, do you have anything to drink? I'm very thirsty.
Well, I have
I've heard strange things about dwarven ales that are quite strong and quite good.
Well, I have just a little bit here behind the counter, but there's quite a few breweries just down the road.
Well, I'd like to talk financials, and I was just thinking we could do it over drinks, like businessmen.
Oh, you mean regarding the finger of fate?
The fingernail of fate. Yes, I can't wait to own it. I want it so bad.
It's a finger. It's the whole thing or nothing.
It doesn't matter. It's going to make a beautiful necklace.
Do you even know what the finger of fate is rumored to be?
Does it matter? Do you want to sell it?
I suppose we could talk about that. And he pulls out this...
Money.
This little bottle. Uh-huh. And pulls out a couple little glasses and he pours some into it.
Mm-hmm.
And it smells like a sweet cordial.
Oh, this is nice. And I take a little tiny sip.
Okay.
Itty bitty sip. As we cheer, I hold up to cheers, and if I'm cheersing, I then cast Charm Person. Charm Person.
All right. Only we had a paladin to cast Aid.
I know. Derbs.
Paladin, will you aid me in deceiving this individual out of this very highly prized thing? What's the DC?
If this made it. 16.
Wow. Fails.
Oh, thank God. I had no plan. Upon the cheers, I'm hoping that he takes a nice swig and his demeanor has changed slightly.
Yes. His demeanor has changed. He is definitely regarding you in a very friendly way.
Yep.
And so friendly that he actually pours more cordial into your glass even though you don't need it.
Yes, so
and then
good.
Pours some more into his.
Oh, this is so good. And where did you find this?
He says, you can get it just down the road. Now, about this finger.
The finger of fate. Now I've shifted into a much, much more serious tone.
Yes, the finger of fate. How interested in it are you?
Oh, I would use it to do such good.
You do know what the finger of fate is, don't you?
I like to think that I'll figure it out. Perhaps you would tell me about it. Tell me everything you know about that finger of fate.
Well, it's rumored that the person who possesses it can use it to curse another into hell.
Oh, that's terrifyingly awesome. I say, have you ever used
it? You hear Malphus just laugh.
Yeah.
Curse someone into hell.
Malphus, hush. I say, such a thing should be banished from this existence.
Well, that's why it was up on a shelf. Because I bought it because I was going to curse my wife.
Yeah.
But I couldn't bring myself to do it. So that's where it has sat since.
You're not going to believe this. I am traveling and I know a very powerful mage who would be able to destroy such a thing. Allow me to take it and I will make sure that no one is harmed by this fate finger ever again.
Well, you know, I paid a pretty penny for it.
I know. Have you ever seen what it does to someone?
Well, no. I'll tell you what. I will let it go for 2,500 gold.
That's exceptional. Yeah, I think that sounds good.
I'm giving you quite a deal. I had someone in here just earlier asking about it.
Oh, what were they going to pay?
Well, they were going to pay 5,000.
Oh, you are so generous. I'll tell you what, and I walk over and I pick it up off the shelf and I say, I think I would give you, I want to give you a fair price. I'm going to give you the full 5,000.
Oh.
We're friends and I would never take advantage of a friend. Hush you. I'll tell you what, I'm going over, I'm staying at the Stinky Foot. Are you familiar with it?
Yeah. I've been there a few times.
Come see me tonight. Let me buy you dinner. Come to the Stinky Foot, find me, and we'll get this all resolved. And I start walking out the door with it.
He says, no. He says...
I wink at him and I say, you know I'm good for it, friend.
He says, well, he needs to stay here. I'll bring it with me tonight.
Huh? But friend...
Are you going to use your persuasive charisma?
Oh, yeah. I say,
I want to go get this put somewhere safe. I'm a little nervous about just having it open, and I have powerful magics at my disposal over at the Stinky Foot.
Okay.
So if you let me just go get
over
this,
at the Stinky Foot, that's where I keep all my power.
All my Stinky Foots, it's right up there. The you know, the place
keep
is
about on the counter.
It's rustic. But you know, I like to hang out there and throw my money around. So let me have a few hours to get started taming this horrible thing. Have you really just left it up there all this time? You've been in terrible danger.
Roll it out. Go for it.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
20 plus what?
Plus 8.
Wow. 28. Well, yeah, okay. I mean, you know, since we're friends and all.
This dice is amazing. Where have you been my whole career?
And you hear Malphus go,
you've got it. And I walk around and it's like, you didn't even ask my name. Freaking idiot dwarf. He's, you know, he's had something like this, and I assume this is pretty terrifyingly powerful.
No.
No?
No.
It's just a lost finger?
Just a finger.
Oh, well.
Bye.
But a favor owed.
A favor.
Yes.
A favor for the finger.
Okay.
Abraxas will be wanting his finger.
So as I step out the door, my glimmer fades.
Okay.
And out comes a dark-robed Eobard, turning around a corner with his cape flaring, and under his arm, a case with a finger in it.
Yes.
And I head back to the Stinky Foot.
Okay.
I walk in and say, "All right, gentlemen, had your fill," and I like snap to Vallum.
Oh, huh.
Yes,
my lord.
You know, open your little messenger bag.
Oh, yes.
Sink it way down in.
You gotta kind of contort the bag a little bit, but it kind of finally gets shoved in there.
I'm guessing it's better to leave it in the case.
Better to leave it with Abarax.
Abarax.
Better to leave it with him.
Sounds like a cleaning product.
Yeah, it is. His toilets have been filthy.
Finger fate. Malphus will be more than happy to tell you about him.
My plan would be when we're into traveling or something, we'll have a cutscene of Malphus explaining Abrax, also while practicing Infernal.
There you go. So I assume that you're all going to
jump to another tavern.
Although there's no way he could know it was me.
He would know. Yeah, he wouldn't know it was you.
Actually, maybe yeah, staying there. Actually, yeah, we're going to stay there. That's going to be awesome.
So you guys are going to buy rooms and stay.
Yeah.
All right. That's easy to do. Vallum secures a room for you. You guys all pay for rooms for yourself. I assume that you're bunking down with Jador Aspen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
And I imagine also that Kallik, you probably don't feel any need to leave the common room and quit drinking until well into the wee hours.
That's absolutely
right.
Necessary.
I'm having a great time.
So you and Eobard are probably going to get to witness what will unfold.
So you guys just saw me come in and go, "Hey, so what are we drinking?"
Well, Kallik, I assume, is having more wine. You see Jador is working his way through what looks like to be the entire haunch of a pig. Aspen, what are you eating and drinking?
I'm having fruit salad.
Having fruit salad.
It's so fresh.
Tough to find, I think, in a dwarven city like Mirabar, but...
No, they can stuff.
Well, yeah, they can. Well, they got schnozberries. Schnozberries. I think schnozberries.
Yeah, you guys are having a great night, and a few hours later, you see the guy from the shop comes in, and you see he's kind of looking around, and he spies this very... ostentatious individual sitting in the corner, and he kind of picks up a little bit, and he kind of walks by your guys' table, and he walks over into the corner. You can't hear what's being said, but it appears to be a rather awkward conversation unfolding, until finally the guy stands up and starts waving his finger in the dwarf's face. And the dwarf's getting hot now. You can tell he's getting hot and bothered by it. His face is all red, and he's starting to yell and spit. People are kind of backed away a little bit to create some room. And the yelling, you can hear the yelling. The very ostentatious individual is claiming that the dwarf is engaged in some kind of fraud, that I've never seen you before in my life. I've never been to your store, and I don't have no finger of fate. And
And the dwarf is claiming that the ostentatious individual is a thief and has charmed him and has attempted to get the better of him. And it looks like it's about to come to blows.
It seems that the finger of fate can curse people.
The finger of what?
Never mind.
That looks like a fight.
It is. It's turning out to be a fight, and sure enough, it...
I wager the dwarf.
Yeah?
Yeah, they're tough. I mean, that man runs an arms store.
It doesn't take long before fists are starting to be thrown. Punches and punch and punch and fists and punch and fists and punch. And people kind of made way. Right?
Aspen has gotten up and is taking bets in the crowd.
Very good. That's
very studious, Aspen.
That's very industrious of you.
This stuff happens all the time in the Fae, and that Aspen, as a lower courtier kind of person, is going to be out amongst the people in the crowd anyway.
That someone has offended someone. Someone was mad about the terms of a contract they didn't read carefully.
The barmaids are walking through the crowd, handing out drinks and taking orders. And at the moment, it doesn't seem like anyone is stepping in to intervene. Because it seems to be just a simple misunderstanding that is now being solved by this. Until the store owner takes out something from his pocket. You can't see quite what it is.
Can Aspen see where it is? What it is from his position in the crowd?
No, not in the crowd.
Oh.
You can't quite see what it is, but you see he reaches into his pocket and pulls something out.
This is going to be resolved quickly.
And he shoves it in the guy's face, and the guy starts choking on something. I don't know what it is. But the guy's choking, and he's grabbing at his neck, and he's struggling for air, and you can see that the dwarven store owner is getting up and walking away. Like, I've had my revenge, I've had my say, I've done everything here I need to do.
Yikes. I turn to Kallik, and I say, these violent delights have violent ends. That's a good one, right?
That's a weird smile.
Huh? No.
You drank a little too much.
I think so.
Weird smile.
And you see the guy who's choking, he stops choking, but then he starts shrinking. And you see that his clothes are getting visibly bigger and bigger and bigger on him as he begins to kind of shrink. Smaller and smaller and smaller.
He made him into a baby?
And smaller. And smaller.
Beats of baby transformation.
And the guy's screaming gets higher and higher pitched until you can't even hear it, and all you see are a pile of clothes and jewels where the guy was thrashing around. And there seems to be something small moving around in it.
Aspen would like to leap for it.
Okay.
All the gems, you mean?
The gems and stuff, and also I don't want people to, like, stampede this dude.
Just
scoop it up as the person that was taking bets. His loss is part of the pool.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, yeah, you make your way through the crowd and
excuse me! Coming through! Excuse me!
And you get up to it, and you see that one of the people that this guy was with has picked up the stuff.
Oh, no.
Oh, well.
And is kind of digging through the clothes. And finally digs through the clothes, and there's the guy standing in his friend's palm at about 3.5 inches high.
Naked as the day he was born.
Naked as the day he was born. And
buddy, I've been there.
Mm-hmm. And it's screaming like this. He's so bad. I can't believe it's out of me. Where's that dwarf? What's going on?
It's very tough to hear exactly what he's saying because he's so small. And it sounds just a lot more like little squeaks. But he quickly takes his friend's clothes, and rushes out of the tower.
Oh, damn it. Did they happen to drop something?
No, he didn't drop anything. But on the fight, you did make 5 gold pieces.
Nice. Yeah. Thank you.
I slap you over his chest. Hey, wasn't there a fight?
Yeah.
What happened to it? Who won?
I can give that one to the dwarf.
The dwarf? Where's the dwarf at?
He left.
Coward.
Yeah.
Clerk, clerk, clerk.
All right. Off
okay.
to Silvery Moon.
Off to Silvery Moon.
That fight was a lot more interesting than I thought it was going to be. Humans are usually so boring.
Okay. The next day, you guys, I guess, make your way out of Mirabar.
Everybody got hiking boots?
Everyone out into the wilderness.
Can you hiking. Not say that so loud?
What do you mean?
Oh, jeez. Why did I come on this?
Didn't we determine that you don't get hungover because you're basically always fully hydrated?
Yeah. That's canon.
Hangover comes from dehydration.
Show me the science. Link it in the podcast. It's
literally your brain pulling on the tendons of your skull because your brain has shrunk from being dehydrated.
Assuming that I do have a brain.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe we're not really
Maybe
sure.
They're in your fists. So you're always concussed.
I thought we established that you stayed drunk longer because it just is water. Like
yeah,
water
you refuse to let it go. You can divert it from your liver.
All right, so it's about 300 miles as the crow flies. And you figure if you keep a really good pace, so if you keep up with Jador, who's not really leading the way because he doesn't exactly know where to go. So we'll have to figure out who's in the lead. But it should take you around 10 or 11 days, maybe 12, depending on how fast or slow you go, to get to Silvery Moon. But, nonetheless, what's your marching order, just so I know?
I think it's probably me and Jador.
Jador doesn't know where to go.
Well, yeah, but I'm with him, and none of us know where to go.
You have the map?
Yeah, I have the map on my
right.
shoulders.
All right, so Jador and you on Jador's shoulder, and then who's following up?
I'll go next.
And then Eobard in the train?
Yep.
All right, several days into the hike. On the morning of the third day, you're kind of skating around the forest of Lurkwood. When you spot a crumbling tower atop a hill less than a quarter mile away. Parts of its conical roof and outer shell have fallen inward, leaving a gaping hole above which four hawks circle.
Ooh, they see something.
As you guys get closer, you eventually see that a large boulder blocks the tower's ground floor entrance, and a horrible noise comes from within, a deep, guttural dirge pouring from the lips of something big and awful.
Is there a window?
There are windows.
I tell my pet crow to go take a look.
Okay.
And tell me what he sees.
Okay. Invisible?
He can be visible over out here. That's fine.
Okay. So,
His choice. Your choice. You got this, Malphus.
Malphus kind of flaps off towards it, kind of flaps around it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You see the hawks kind of take an interest in this crow that's flying around, and all of a sudden the crow is invisible.
Mm-hmm.
And,
heck that.
They just shifted to an imp and just ripped their wings off.
He says,
it's a giant. And it smells.
So
you haven't bought that big like red light that tells me we're live.
No, I know. Working on it.
Need that big one just like
live.
We need a couple more patrons before we can get one of those.
Yeah.
So over the past 2 weeks we've actually gotten a couple new patrons.
Oh.
And a new comment. One of the new patrons, a super fan, is now on board. Their name is Aiden Kasperson. Thank you, Aiden, very much. We appreciate your support. We hope that you are enjoying being a patron, and we hope that you're looking forward to more episodes. So thank you for that. And then we also have a new patron at the sidekick level, which anyone at the sidekick level qualifies for our patrons-only Star Wars podcast. I'm probably going to butcher their last name, so
well,
I'm.
Because it's like.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. I'm just going to say that ahead of time. I'm sorry, but Chris Greck. I'm going out on a limb there, Chris. If that's not how you say your last name, I'm terribly sorry. I'm horrible at reading names and figuring it out. But Chris also was kind enough to leave us a comment on our Facebook page after having listened to some episodes. And here is what Chris had to say. Gives us 5 stars. Quote, listening along on Podcast Addict. Someone posted a link to the podcast, and I was immediately interested. Never listened to a D&D podcast before, but I'm running and playing a few games of my own. Listening to these players and GM is actually making me a better GM and getting me more excited for each week. The NPCs are consistent and fun. The characters are fun, and I find myself laughing along with them while listening through headphones in my office, to the dismay of my office mates. Can't wait to listen to the Star Wars podcast, too. Since starting to listen, I've sought out other D&D podcasts of high renown, but this is so far my favorite. Keep up the great work, guys.
Woo!
Aww.
Check it out! We are the favorite!
Chris should just recruit his coworkers.
I'm telling you, Chris, if they're really disturbed by your spontaneous outbursts of laughter, you should get them to listen in. Better yet, play it over the PA. Put it on for everybody to listen to. I think we've all worked in the office where, you know, you'll be working along and you might hear someone just kind of start laughing. And maybe it's just me, but I always get curious enough to kind of like, what's going on? Why is this person laughing? Or they're that person in the corner and you go, oh, they're laughing again. Probably best to just leave them alone. But yes, Chris, thank you so much for the support. Thank you for becoming a patron. Thank you for the great review. We're glad to hear that you're enjoying it. And we're glad to hear that we're better than everybody else. So,
I'll take it. Yep.
Thank you again. We appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Heroes Not Included. If you would like to learn more about us, you can visit our website at heroesnotincluded.com. Heroes Not Included is available on iTunes, Google Play Music, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Podbean. Please rate, review, like, and share us. We'd love to hear from you. Your continued support is critical to our success. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please consider becoming a patron. As a patron, not only will you be helping keep the lights on, you will gain access to patron-only content, including a special patron-only Star Wars podcast. Visit the Patreon page at patreon.com/heroesnotincluded. Until next week, be the hero.